This podcast was recorded on Whadjuk Noongar country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay our deepest respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Thank you. Written by Andrea K. Knight. Last time, on Witchery, Alessandra finds a clue left by her aunt and uncle, urging her to flee from the bookshop.
Lessie, we understand why you left. It's okay. We aren't angry. Your uncle and I had to leave the flats. They were coming for you, and us. It's safer if we don't meet up again for now. It would only put you in danger. We'll be fine. We have places to hide where they'll never find us. When the time comes for us to reunite, we'll let you know. Don't waste another moment worrying about us, because right now you are more important. You, my darling, you must run, and then you must do something you've never done before. Use your magic.
And the goddess of love has returned to visit Alessandra. Lessie dropped into one of the chairs, still feeling bleary-eyed and fuzzy. Do you want your eggs fried, scrambled, or made into an omelette, pet? The voice made Lessie jump, and she did a double take upon seeing someone in the kitchen, busy cooking. After a moment, she realised who it was.
Jesus, Aphrodite! She exclaimed, hand over her heart.
No, not him. Though, I wouldn't kick him out of bed for eating crackers, said Aphrodite, who also went by the nom de plume of Kypria Uranos. Congratulations on surviving your first supernatural scuffle, by the way. I wish I could say it would be your last. Lessie blinked groggily as waves of warmth and deliciousness rolled over her relentlessly, despite her dreadful mood. The goddess of love was back. And now, episode 6, The Hangover. Lessie looked from the food that had been set before her, a plate of bacon, sausage, toast, and a small selection of antipasto, and looked up to Aphrodite. Her aspect was shifted from the savvy, confident businesswoman they'd met yesterday. Her long, dark hair was pulled into a half ponytail, wispy tendrils curled about her face, sitting right where they should, and staying there, defying physics while doing so. She wore a soft white cotton dress, just slightly sheer, a silk kimono wrap over the top emblazoned with tastefully pink roses. She looked like a mother in a wistful commercial selling some aspirational product that no normal woman would reasonably use on a daily basis. Lessie felt her insides crumble as she gazed at her. Some core id, a kernel of herself that had been hiding inside her since the day she was born, wanted to snuggle to her and be held by her forever, to be small and safe in her arms. Without wanting to, she thought of Adelaide, and the woman's presence in her mind's eye seared her consciousness, her absence too painful. She felt tears stinging in her eyes, and she looked away, not wanting to feel these things right now. "What are you doing here?" asked Lessie, as Aphrodite went back into the kitchen and began to cook some eggs. "I'm watching after my most beloved devotee, of course," she said. Lessie had to stop and rub her face. She knew in the pit of her stomach that, with the Greek gods, nothing was as it immediately seemed. Weird shit was afoot, and Aphrodite was not being as open and apparent as she had thought. She didn't sense malice, but she was nervous nonetheless.
"So you left me to my own devices, and then all that horrible shit happened."
Aphrodite turned and frowned, looking hurt.
"Oh, darling, I know you're grieving your old life right now," she said softly. Her voice was like kitten tummies.
Lessie felt irrationally angry that her tone was so comforting.
"I can't walk this journey for you, my pet. I can't make it easy. It's not my place.
The fact that I'm here at all is enough to get me into trouble for pushing the no-interference rule.
Who the hell is enforcing that rule anyway? Asked Lessie.
Aphrodite's eyes went wide, and she took a deep breath before turning back to the eggs.
Not someone that I really want to invoke by speaking their name. They're older than the Earth and far less forgiving.
Lessie frowned. The concept of the planet Earth being forgiving clunked around in her head. She'd seen far too many David Attenborough documentaries for that to make any sense to her.
The Earth isn't forgiving, though. Like, nature is brutal.
Aphrodite looked over her shoulder to meet Lessie's eyes and nodded with a mildly alarmed gaze.
Yes, precisely. Oh, eat your bacon before it gets cold.
Pouting, she pushed it around on the plate as Aphrodite turned around to cook again. Lessie was groggy and felt off. The last thing she wanted was a heavy breakfast.
Now, I see that my dear Dionysus has sent someone to watch out for you, said Aphrodite, and Orgy actually looked up from their magazine.
Is this a problem, milady? They asked.
Goodness no, she replied, and turning about she came over to Lessie with a sizzling pan, scooping scrambled eggs onto her plate.
It's a rough world out there. I was towing the line enough with Alessandra. I'm very grateful to Dion for doing what I could not.
I'll tell my lord so, if you wish, said Orgy brightly.
Aphrodite smiled warmly. It was like spring bursting in the window and demanding everyone glory in the beauty of nature. The goddess put the frying pan in the sink of the kitchen, then returned with hot tea in a pretty cup and a saucer.
Thank you, Orgy. I very much wish so.
Lessie sat straight and frowned at Orgy.
Hang on. You're looking after me, like a proper mission.
Orgy actually blushed.
Well, I assumed you were a likeable weirdo that thought we were really cool, said Lessie.
She sighed.
I never had a hanger-on after a wild night out before. I got to admit, this is a bit of a bummer.
If it makes any difference, if I were a regular mortal, I probably would follow you all home after a long night out. You're all quite amusing, said Orgy.
Lessie smiled, but before she could talk, Aphrodite spoke.
Don't take it personally, pet, she said.
She sat down at the table across from Lessie, folding her hands and watching Lessie stare at the meal in front of her, dolefully.
Gods often sent out cherished helpers to watch over their favourite mortals. You should look at it as a compliment. But enough about that. Are you feeling well, Alessandra?
Not really, she said groggily. I'm worried about my aunt and uncle. I was religiously roofied last night, and some dark shadowy assholes are after me, and I have no idea who they are. Oh, and they also totaled my folks' flat. It was a nice flat. I'm angry about that. Is there some supernatural people complaints board I can go to? Some ombudsman or something? Because this sort of thing really isn't on.
Aphrodite sighed, and taking up her cup of tea, blew on it and sipped demurely.
Your aunt and uncle are safe, I can tell you that much. At least for now. It is you, my dear, that I'm concerned about.
Me?
Aphrodite nodded.
I had underestimated how eager other gods and magical folk would be to get their hands on you.
Lissy's face scrunched up in confusion.
Why? Why do they want to do that?
Aphrodite sighed heavily, looking up to the sky.
It's a complicated subject I'm not exactly allowed to talk about.
Lissy looked annoyed.
Is this another one of those interference things?
Sort of, she said nervously. It's not exactly my wheelhouse, your past. Your future, that's all mine. But your past...
She shook her head and sipped her tea again. Lessie blinked slowly at Aphrodite, all her fatigue and apathy pulling at the shadows of her face.
Are we ever going to have a discussion that isn't confusing and annoying?
I should think not, said Aphrodite, frowning good-naturedly. I'm a goddess. The last thing I should be is well understood by humans.
Well, that's infuriating, said Lessie,
giving up her gaze at the goddess and looking down at her meal. Aphrodite merely laughed at this.
I think you should lay off the kakion, my darling, she said. It doesn't agree with you.
Well, I didn't exactly have much of a choice in the matter.
Yes, Dionysus and his intoxicating substances.
She paused and gazed out the kitchen window across the room.
He means well, but he doesn't realize how fragile humans are. Even wine just made a little too strong and drunk a little too fast can kill one of you.
I'll take his apology in a written letter,
grumbled Lessie.
I'm sure he'll get right to that, said Aphrodite, humouring her. Please eat something. You need to recover yourself. It's important.
Lissy nodded and was already halfway acquiescing as the food was steaming appealingly under her nose and drawing her in, slowly but surely.
She scooped up some scrambled eggs with a fork and held it up, peering at it with distrust.
"Alessandra, relax," said Aphrodite. "You're already my devotee. I don't need to drug you. It's not my style."
"It's not that," she said, sniffing it. "I don't know if Greek gods know how to cook."
Aphrodite clicked her tongue and pushed the fork to Lessie's mouth. "We invented fire. I think we know how to fry an egg."
Lessie took the prompting and ate the egg.
"Sunshine, green grass, summer days. Happy chickens, snuggly nests, and mythical mornings where mother would cuddle you and make you breakfast. If she weren't so hungover, she would have found the bursts of rapture less annoying."
"They're good," she said, as Aphrodite watched her eat.
"You're a good cook."
"I know," said Aphrodite, "but I'm gratified to hear it from you." The food had the strange effect of waking up her stomach, and as she ate, she realized how hungry she actually was. By the time she was halfway through the eggs, it became apparent she was ravenous, her body aching for proteins and vitamin B. The more she ate, the better she felt. Perhaps Aphrodite had done something to these eggs. Or maybe Lessie had felt so bad when she woke up that a perfectly normal fry-up was a revelation. She felt, rather than heard, the presence of Luca as he walked up to the table. His voice was small and plaintive when he spoke, as if the night before had rattled him, and now all that was left was the gentle inner child seeking comfort.
"You made breakfast?"
Aphrodite smiled at him, putting a hand on his arm.
"I did. Would you like some, Luca?"
He managed a sleepy smile, nodding his head, his wayward curls flopping into his face and grazing his dark brows. Lessie tried not to choke on her sausage. He sat down next to her, smiling at her a little awkwardly.
"Did you sleep okay?"
She tried to say, "just great," but with a mouthful of Irish pork sausage and an eyeful of Luca in nothing but a low-cut singlet and thin cotton pajama pants that left nothing to the imagination, all she could manage was a garbled,
"Gefrut!"
And then she bit her tongue.
"Fuck!"
Aphrodite had been in the kitchen cracking some eggs. She spun around to glance at Lessie and, upon seeing her, lifted a brow.
"Are you okay?" asked Luca.
Lessie swallowed her mouthful, noting that the taste of her blood just enhanced the flavour of the pork sausage. Once her mouth was clear, she croaked.
"I'm fine. Just eating half my face here."
"Be careful," said Aphrodite as she went about making another round of eggs. "You'll need that mouth to talk to the cosmos and rouse the magic of ages."
"I don't know if I should be trusted to do that," said Lessie, "if I can't even swallow my breakfast without injuring myself."
Aphrodite waved a hand. "Much stupider people than you have wielded supernatural powers. You'll be fine."
"Gee, thanks for the vote of confidence," said Lessie, eyes wide before looking back at her meal.
After a moment or two, she tried to glance at Luca next to her, but she realized with a rush of embarrassment that she couldn't look at him for very long. It was like looking into a bright light. She fought for the casual air she'd developed the night before, but she realized that much of it was the intoxication doing the work for her. She had to learn to relax around him for real now.
"How are you feeling after last night?" she asked him, her voice tighter than she wanted it to sound, but terrified of falling into eager breathlessness.
"Trashed," he said, poking a fork on the table idly, like a cat investigating a precious trinket before knocking it off a high shelf.
At least I have some memory of the night around the shifting. Usually I wake up hours later and I can't remember anything much at all."
"The amnesia will fade once your soul settles into the new relationship," said Augie idly, peering closely at a page in the magazine about indoor palms. Luca frowned.
"What are you talking about?"
Looking up from the magazine, Augie stretched and smiled, a wild curl to their lips that was slightly alarming.
"You've been accepted into the spirit of the lynx. The lynx is part of the great cat spirit, and that has entered your body, healed your wounds, and made you stronger. It's a part of you now. You're a new person, a symbiote, between a vast, ancient energy that has existed before humans ever evolved, and your own soul."
Luca frowned thoughtfully, twirling the fork in his fingers as Aphrodite set down a plate of food in front of him. She sat next to Augie and quietly sipped at her tea.
"That actually explains a lot," said Luca.
"I don't doubt it," said Augie. Lessie looked puzzled and Augie helpfully continued. "When you become a shifter, who you were before the bite becomes distant," said Luca suddenly.
"Well, that must suck," said Lessie.
"Well, for some it's better than the alternative," said Augie, and they glanced at Luca, who pressed his lips together in agreement.
"Oh,
you know, I've been feeling like a deep part of me has woken up, that I never knew was there, inside me.
I try to get back to who I was, but it's just not, it's not there right now, said Luca.
Just relax, said Augie gently. Eventually you'll reconcile and accept this new energy inside of you. It could not be bonded with you if there wasn't a part of yourself deep in your subconscious that wasn't already alike to it.
Are you saying I was already a bit like a cat? Asked Luca.
Augie shrugged. Were you not?
Lissy gave a warm smirk and lifted a brow at him. Go on. I bet you went absolutely mental at laser pointers when you were a kid.
Luca looked at her, his expression halfway between disbelief and amusement.
Are you having fun with my existential distress here?
She gnashed her teeth and shrank into her shoulders.
I don't know when to shut up. Just assume that whenever I say something stupid or offensive, I'm really sorry and I didn't mean it in a bad way.
Perhaps you should learn to think before you speak, pet, said Aphrodite. Anyone else saying that would have come off as sanctimonious, critical, judgmental, but the tone of her voice, the gentleness, rushed Lessie's psyche and stole away her indignance before it could even form.
Yeah, I suppose I probably should, she said.
Aphrodite suddenly clapped her hands together loudly, once, and everyone but her at the table flinched at the sound.
All right, my dears, she exclaimed. It's time to get this day started.
Isn't it already started? Asked Lessie. There's fried meat.
Aphrodite ignored her, getting up to her feet and digging into her handbag that sat on a nearby coffee table. She took out a note, written on a slip of parchment paper.
Lessie began to feel the hairs on her neck prickle as she saw Aphrodite's swashy hand on the paper. This didn't end well the last time.
I want you to go see this person, said Aphrodite, watching as Lessie received the paper and eyed it warily.
Oh, like I needed to see my aunt? Said Lessie. You could have told me just to go talk to her.
What, and ruin the sense of surprise? Aphrodite replied.
Watch your tone, my dear. I am still the goddess of love, no matter how kind and approachable I am to you.
Sorry, said Lessie, sinking into her chair slightly. It's been a bit of a shit 24 hours for me.
I'll do better.
The goddess nodded and patted Lessie's hand.
I promise you, this time you'll have some answers. You need to find someone who'll help you learn to take care of yourself.
Augie only knows so much, dear girl. You need to know more.
Okay, is this going to be hard? Like, is this going to be like becoming a brain surgeon or a rocket scientist or whatever?
Aphrodite chuckled.
Oh, Lessie, you sweet twit. It's going to be much harder than that.
Lessie nearly jumped as the goddess tapped her on the nose. But it will be far easier for you than it is for other humans.
Oh, great.
Eat your breakfast, said Aphrodite, who bent and kissed Lessie on the forehead. With that, the motherhood performance seemed to be at an end. Something in the goddess shifted, and she picked up her handbag.
Be a good girl.
Stunned into silence, Lessie watched the goddess stroll to the door, looking like a swan cruising over the water of a lake. Aphrodite waved at them before slipping out the door. After a long moment, Lessie turned her head and looked to Augie.
Tell me, in all of history, from her birth to this day right now, has Aphrodite ever visited humans like a normal person?
When Augie looked confused, she continued.
Like, she slams her way into your existence, renders you dislodged with the nicest feelings imaginable, and then just trots away like a foal that's just done a giant shit on your living room carpet.
Narrowing their eyes in thought, Augie nodded.
No, yeah, that's pretty much been her since she rocked up at Cyprus out of the dick froth.
Okay, good to know, said Lessie. I won't take it personal, then.
I wouldn't, said Augie.
Who has she sent you to?
Lessie frowned as she peered at the note in her hand.
Someone called Katie?
Augie frowned, nonplussed, and Lessie handed the note to them. They peered at it, then promptly burst into laughter.
Katie Soteria? Really?
I don't get it. What's so funny?
Augie shook their head and smiled.
Nothing. It's just that the nom de plumes of supernaturals deeply amuse me sometimes.
With a final giggle, they leant across the table, propping their head on their elegant hand and smiling mischievously.
Guess what, puppet? Road trip!
What? We can't take the tube?
Not where we're going.
Lessie frowned, feeling both alarmed and curious. It was an emotional cocktail she was starting to get used to, so much so she decided that humanity needed to find out if the Germans had a particular word for it, and if they didn't, ask them if they could please invent one. Pronto.
She sighed heavily and looked over to Ashika, who was still nestled under the duvet on the fold-out couch.
How am I supposed to explain this to her? I mean, I can't just leave her alone while hideous shadow things are after us.
Augie slid around the table and sank into a chair next to Lessie, all while peering at Ashika.
I think she's more resilient than you realize, they said. In my time as an observer of the human condition, I've noticed that you lot have an amazing aptitude for forming the world to your own comfort, be it through denial or material change. They winked and nodded. She'll find a way to square what she sees with her atheism.
Lessie stared at them doubtfully.
What, she's going to square gods and dark fae and whatnot with a logical godless universe?
Probably. It'll be just as correct and valid as your interpretation, said Augie.
Okay, I don't know how that works, but whatever.
With a sigh, Lessie got up and walked over to Ashika's form on the couch. She sat down next to her, putting her hand on her shoulder and shaking her gently.
Hey, boo.
The duvet fell away from Ashika's shoulder, and she saw that Ashika had her phone out and was scrolling through some app, yawning. She had earbuds in her ears. Noticing the movement, Ashika perked up, pulling out one of them.
Hey, bitch!
She smiled sleepily and sat up. Lessie stared at her friend with no small amount of disbelief.
Aren't you hungover?
Horribly, she said, taking out the other earbud and putting both in a receptacle in her satchel by the bed. No use pissing and moaning about it.
Did someone do a fry-up?
Oh, yeah, my new friend, Kipria, was here.
She didn't feel ready to call her Aphrodite in front of Ashika.
She heard I was feeling crap.
Wait, who's Kipria?
Shit, thought Lessie. She hadn't anticipated this simple question and felt suddenly foolish that she had nothing ready to say.
Didn't I mention her?
She helped me and Luke after I was mugged. Patched us up and gave us a glass of water, you know.
She shrugged.
Usual good Samaritan stuff.
Ashika frowned. And she just turned up out of the blue and made you breakfast.
Yeah,
said Lessie, her voice strained a touch.
Weird, said Ashika.
Most people don't do that until the third date.
What can I say? We must have really vibed or something, said Lessie.
She gnashed her teeth briefly and ploughed on.
Look, I have to get out of town for a few days. You want to come with?
Ashika blinked and gawked at her in disbelief.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, it just popped up.
Is this about your folks?
Lessie held in a wince and tilted her head.
Sort of?
Letting out a long sigh through her teeth, Ashika side-eyed her.
Dude, come on. You know I've got to work this weekend.
I know, said Lessie, but it's really important to me that you come with me.
Ashika met Lessie's imploring gaze, and for a long moment she was quiet. Lessie's insides twisted as she waited for her answer. She didn't want to have to find a way other than persuasion to get her to come. She wouldn't even know how to make Ashika do anything. She was a force to be reckoned with, and the thought of it scared her a little.
Okay, I'll do it, said Ashika, and she pointed at Lessie suddenly.
But only because I don't want to go into the office on a Sunday, and my parents want me to go to my cousin's birthday party on Saturday, and the last thing I want is to have to dress myself up all traditional. Taking off all this nail polish is an absolute bitch.
Lessie let out a deep breath of relief and hugged her friend tightly.
Thank you.
It's all right, Ashika replied. I know the situation with your folks is probably messing you up.
Did you call the police yet?
Lessie's train of thought came to a sudden, screeching halt.
Don't you remember last night? Norbert and Addie left me a message, said Lessie. They said they're okay for now. They're avoiding some bad characters, apparently.
What? Ashika exclaimed. That's great! I mean, not the bad characters bit, but...
She stopped and let out a short laugh.
Why didn't you start the conversation with that, you solid gold numpty?
I thought you knew.
Lessie shrugged with an awkward expression, and Ashika looked around the room.
Wait, so I'm guessing this trip isn't because you're in anticipatory mourning, said Ashika.
Why are you doing this? Oh, are you going to see them in secret?
No, that's a terrible idea, said Lessie. If people were after them, then I would lead them right to them.
Ashika narrowed her eyes.
Wait, are your folks on the run from the mob?
Slowly, Lessie looked up at Ashika and tilted her head, eyes narrowing.
What would the mob be doing here in Noddington?
Ashika shrugged.
Fact if I know.
With a weary, knowing smile, she swatted at Ashika's side.
Come on, get your shit together. We're hitting the road.
After Luke had gathered some of his things into a backpack and locked up his flat, they all made their way down the stairwell of the building, steps slow and weary despite the full night's sleep they'd had. The breakfast Aphrodite had provided had perked Lessie up a bit, but the hangover that woke her that morning refused to be assuaged so easily. It hung around her like a stray cat trying to bum a piece of one's hamburger. "Where are we going?" asked Luca. Augie pulled large, 70s-styled bug-eye sunglasses that were vaguely square in shape out of their jacket pocket and slipped them on with a relaxed smile. "We're going to need some wheels to get to Katie's," said Augie. "Right," said Lessie. "Do you know someone?" "Not personally," said Augie, "but there has to be a used car lot somewhere that has a car they desperately need to get rid of." "Oh, yeah," said Lessie skeptically. "Who do you reckon is going to sell their car to a bunch of people with no money?" Augie laughed. "Ha ha, money, you're cute." Lessie's skeptical smile drained into a look of supreme stress. What the hell is that supposed to mean?"
"Are any of us going to have to trade a kidney for this?" asked Luca.
"Good grief, absolutely not," said Augie. "Will you just trust me? I know we've just met, but do you think I'd be going to such efforts to keep you alive if I wanted you maimed or dead?" Ashika, her eyes trained on her phone screen, nodded. "Augie totally has a point."
"Good to know I have you here to watch out for my safety," said Lessie, and Ashika looked up from her phone.
"Girl, chill. You're surrounded by three people, including Mr. 6 foot of solid muscle mass here," she said, waving a hand at Luca. "Nothing's going to happen to you." Luca looked around, realised Ashika might have been talking about him, and looked both baffled and pleased. "Did she mean me?"
"Yes," said Lessie, looking up at him. "Do you not know what you look like?"
He shrugged. "For most of my life, I didn't look like this."
"Same here," said Lessie, gesturing at her own body. "It's called puberty." "I meant..."
He stopped and shook his head. "Sorry, never mind." With a sigh, Lessie realised she'd been short with him again. She stopped walking and turned to him.
"Dude, I am so sorry."
"What?" She tiptoed and hugged him, and he blinked and ran a hand through his hair.
"It's okay, Les." "It's not," she sighed. "Aphrodite told me to think before I speak, and barely a few metres from your doorstep, I've already messed that up. How am I meant to help her if I can't even control my own temper?"
"She wouldn't have picked you if she didn't think you could do what she needed you to do," said Luca.
"Gods can be wrong sometimes, you know.
In fact, they very frequently are," said Lessie, burying her face in his shoulder sullenly. She failed to ignore how very warm and firm he was. With a sigh, Luca put a hand on her back, patting it fondly.
"Well, if it makes you feel any better, I can gather up a right strop over your snippiness later, and we're not trying to get to some place in a hurry," he said.
She sent him a smile that somehow managed to sidestep her previously unhappy frown.
"Make sure it's really dramatic."
"Absolutely," he said. "Hair pulling, shirt rending, and everything."
"Oh no, not the hair," she said, laughing and sighing at the same time.
"Come on," he said, and taking her hand, he pulled her onwards after Augie and Ashika. The brief embrace with Luca had lifted her spirits considerably, which was both comforting and disconcerting. She had always depended on her own emotional resources to get through difficult times. It was frightening to think about needing someone else to help one cope with things. She shoved those thoughts to the back of her mind and concentrated on catching up to her long-legged friends. Augie had stopped and was peering at a sign next to a sheltered bench.
"Ah, this bus stop," said Augie.
"Well, what about it?" asked Lessie.
"It looks as good as any," said Augie. "Let's hop on the next bus that comes, see where it takes us."
Lessie frowned at Augie with confusion.
"You know, there's these things called maps, and they're even on our phones now. They're connected to the internet and everything."
Augie lifted a baffled brow.
"My dear friend, you'll never find anything that way."
"How do you even know the bus will take us to a car lot?" asked Luca.
"But the guards are with us," said Augie. "I'm sure they'll send us where we need to go."
"You are weirder than my uncle," said Lessie, frowning. "That's the sort of nonsense he says about books, minus the gods bit."
"Ah, really? He sounds like a wise man. I thank you."
With a quick sigh, Lessie turned and looked to Ashika. She had put away her phone and was following the conversation with mild interest.
"Are you okay with this?" asked Lessie.
Ashika shrugged. "Fuck it, let's go. As long as I can find somewhere to buy a sandwich and a coffee, I'm good."
All right, said Lessie, sighing with defeat. Let's do this then.
As soon as she had said it, a bus swept down the street and came to a stop in front of them, the engine letting out a huff as it went into the appropriate gear to stand idle. The door then popped open.
What the fuck? Muttered Lessie.
Told you, said Augie brightly. We're being watched over.
The bus driver looked down at them from their seat.
You lot getting on or not?
Augie shrugged and hopped on the bus. Lessie looked to Luca and gave him a confused frown.
I don't know what's real anymore, Luca. My head has been totally done in.
He smiled briefly, taking her hand and running his thumb over the back of it. Don't worry. Ashik is here, and I'm here. You got this. She smiled at him gratefully, swinging their hands briefly before letting go and boarding the bus. Now wasn't the time to get distracted with Luca's general adorableness, and her agitation from the night before was creeping up on her again, exacerbated by the strange dream she had had upon waking that morning. If she could just get through the next 24 hours without anything terrifying happening, perhaps she could make it through the weekend at least, she thought. What she didn't realise was that the universe did exactly what it liked, bugger the expectations of the sentient beings living within it. What she wanted and what she would get were two different things entirely. Next time on Witchery, Addie's book about fairies casts doubt on the identity of the creatures that destroyed Lessie's flat.
It's said that Sluardu don't like being in houses. Why the hell would they go into my flat then? And why did you tell me that they were the ones that broke into my place?
Augie squirmed slightly in their seat for a moment and sighed.
Well, number one, books aren't always right. And number two, I never actually said it was the Sluardu for sure. I'm a supernatural individual, Lessie, but I'm not all-knowing. I was making as best an educated guess as I could. Obviously, we need more information if we're going to know definitively who trashed your home, said Augie.
Lessie nodded, hugging herself with a frown. Vagaries were not what she needed right now, she decided. She wanted something solid, so she could reconstruct her shaken and cracked understanding of the world around her, gain some kind of footing, so that she didn't feel like she was trying to walk across an ice skating rink in 6-inch heels.
And beyond all understanding, Alessandra falls in love.
Light spilled into the garage, and Lessie's heart skipped a beat. She knew absolutely nothing about cars. Other than most needed petrol, were nearly useless in her little city of a town, and that she had never seen one she particularly cared about, because they were all abstract machines outside of her lifestyle. This car, this little white car, had arrested her attention. Like a scrappy kitten found behind a bin at the back of an old pub, this car peered at her through gleaming silver headlights, its brightness in the dark, dirty old garage like a beacon of hope in an unending storm.
It's beautiful, she gasped, hands folding over her heart.
Luca turned and frowned at her, and Ashika snorted.
It's a pile of shit!
All that and more on the next episode of Witchery. Click follow or subscribe to get the next episode as soon as it drops.
You have been listening to Witchery, written by Andrea K. Knight. Produced and edited by Nancy Lorenz. Music composed and performed by Nancy Lorenz. Thanks for listening.
Hi. Nancy here, narrator of Witchery the Podcast. If you have any questions or messages you'd like to send to us, write to us at thewitcherypodcast.au, all one word, at gmail.com. Our social links are also in the show notes. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, TikTok, and Discord. I hope you write to us because we'd love to hear from you. If you like, your question can be answered in our post-episode breakdowns, Witchery Supplemental. If you want to support the podcast, you can rate us and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all good podcast apps. It'll help the podcast grow, and in turn I can bring you more content, better produced episodes, and more extras online. Catch you next time.